إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء اتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، إن أصدق الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. We thank Allah Azza wa Jalla for giving us this ability to come together to start a new lesson, which would only be a temporary lesson until we finish the number of ahadith which are in the chapter of knowledge, the book of knowledge from Sahih al-Bukhari. Today's lesson, which is an introduction, and we will also start the lesson bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we will speak about several things. From amongst those things that we will speak about is the merits of knowledge of hadith, and specifically, or more specifically, the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the importance of the sunnah. And likewise, we will try to mention something from the life of Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala, and we will also give a brief background of how we would teach or how we would read from this chapter, and we would begin with some fawaid, and then we will go into reading from the different ahadith which are present in that chapter. Before we continue, it should be known that inshallah ta'ala, next week we will make the lesson on Sunday. Next week we will make the lesson on Sunday at the same time, 9 o'clock, and that is so that the people can still attend Sharh Kitab al-Tawheed, a reading from the explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed by our brother Abu Abbas Musa Richardson, who to the best of my knowledge teaches that explanation on Saturday at this time, or a little bit after this time, so that people that don't not or so that the people do not miss that class, we will make our class on Sunday. So we will have the normal reading from Sharh al-Sunnah and Riyadh al-Salihin on Friday at 9 o'clock Riyadh time, and then we would have a day off, which is the Saturday, and then on Sunday we will come back to our normal reading from the book of knowledge from Sahih al-Bukhari. From that which is for everyone to know is that our Lord Tabarak wa Ta'ala, through His mercy, sent one last messenger and one last book, the book which is the Quran al-Kareem, which is guidance and light and a cure for the believers. And likewise with that book, being that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Hakim, the All-Wise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a messenger. A messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that would teach the people, that would guide the people, that would instruct the people. And he was a mercy to mankind, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Verily, we have only sent you as a mercy to mankind. That Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be amongst the people for 23 years, calling them to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, guiding them to the best of character, guiding them to the best of dealings and transactions. And he would not part until he had fulfilled the message. That messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with the sunnah. And the sunnah, amongst the scholars of hadith, is that which ما أضيف إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من قول أو فعل أو إقرار أو صفة خلقية أو خلقية. The sunnah is that which is ascribed to the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم from his statements, from his actions, and from his approvals, and from his descriptions, whether it is his physical description or whether it is or whether it is his character. That is the definition of the sunnah from amongst the scholars of hadith. It was mentioned by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala in his majmu', where he said, al-hadith al-nabawi عند الإطلاق ينصرف إلى ما حدث به عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. The hadith, a prophetic tradition, when it is mentioned, it is informing of that which has been informed about the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم بعد النبوة من قول أو فعل أو إقرار. That which has been informed about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after he became a prophet, from his statements and from his actions and from his approvals. Then cutting through the kalam of Shaykh al-Islam, he said, وَقَدْ يُدْخِلُ فِيهِ بَعْدُ أَخْبَارِهِ قَبْلِ النُّبُوَّةِ. And it is possible that some of the occurrences or some of the affairs of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have been entered before he became a prophet. مثل تحنثه وتعبده بغار حراء. For example, of that which Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, he's expanding the definition of the sunnah. So he first started by saying, Shaykh al-Islam first started by saying, now the lesson is recorded. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala first started by saying that it is that which has been mentioned from the statements, the actions, and the approvals of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after he became a prophet. But then later on he says, and it's possible that some of the things that were mentioned about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam before he became a prophet are also mentioned from his sunnah. And an example of that is how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to go to the mountain of Hira or the cave of Hira and worship Allah even before he became a prophet. وَمِثْلُ حُسْنِ سِيرَتِهِ. And also how he was a good person even before he became a prophet. Many of us know from reading from the different books of the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ, they usually start before he was a prophet, how he was described as being al-amin, the trustworthy individual. So Shaykh al-Islam mentioned that this is also possibly considered from his sunnah. لأن هذا يستفاد منه ما كان عليه قبل النبوة من مكارم الأخلاق ومحاسن الأفعال. Because there's a benefit in this. There's a benefit in this being a part of his sunnah, because it shows that even before he was a prophet, he had good character and he had righteous deeds. He had good character and he had upright deeds. Because we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala chose a messenger, he chose the individuals that were from amongst the purest of the people. Allah chose the individuals who were from amongst the purest of the people, so that the people could not mention if there were faults, and obviously there were not. The people could not mention the faults of the Prophet. For example, you were the person that used to drink and now you want to call us to worshiping one God. You were the person that used to fornicate, and now you want to call us to leaving alone fornication. You were the person that used to lie and steal and deceive, and now you want to call us to righteous character. So from the hikmah of Allah Azza wa Jal, He would choose individuals from amongst the purest of the people. So naam. So Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned, is the sound okay? No. So Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned that it's possible that even that which the Prophet ﷺ was upon before he became a prophet is also considered from the sunnah. And just for those that if the sound breaks, rest assured, I recorded on my site. Not only the recording of the website, but I also recorded on my site, without any sound breakage. And that's what I download on the blog site. The recordings that I record myself, that's what I download on the blog site. And if you go back to those recordings, you notice that there are no interruptions, nor is there any static or background noise. Now, so that was mentioned by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala. So we understand by the hikmah of Allah Azza wa Jalla, like we mentioned, is that Allah Tabarak Ta'ala sent down a book, and Allah Tabarak Ta'ala sent down a messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to clarify to the people how to implement the book, how to implement the tawheed, how to worship Allah, how to supplicate to Allah, how to pray to Allah. And that which is upon the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the clarification, is the delivering of the message. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said it in Surah Ali Imran, فَإِنْ هَاجُوكَ فَقُلْ أَسْلَمْتُ وَجْهِيَ لِلَّهِ وَمَنَ اتَّبَعًا وَقُلْ لِلَّذِينَ أُوثُوا الْكِتَابُ وَالْأُمِّيِّينَ أَأَسْلَمْتُمْ فَإِنْ أَسْلَمُوا فَقَدْ اِحْتَدَوْا وَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا فَإِنَّمَا عَلَيْكَ الْبَلَاغُ وَاللَّهُ بَصِيرٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. In Surah Ali Imran, the 20th verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned pertaining to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if the people argue with you, say to them, verily I have submitted my case to Allah and those who follow me. I myself, yani Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have submitted myself to Allah and those who follow me. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and say to the people who have been given the book, say to the people that have been given the book and those who have not been given the book, do you submit? If they submit, then verily they are guided. And if they turn away, verily it is only upon you to give the clear message. And verily Allah is all aware. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all aware of the affairs of His servants. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likewise said, pertaining to obedience to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the fact that it is upon him to deliver the message, وَعَتِيعُ اللَّهَ وَعَتِيعُ الرَّسُولُ وَاحْذَرُوا فَإِنْ تَوَلَّيْتُمْ فَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا عَلَى الرَّسُولِنَا بَلَاغُ الْمُبِينَ. In Surah Al-Ma'idah, the 90th verse, Allah Ta'ala said, obey Allah and obey His Messenger, and be aware, for verily if you turn away, know that it is only upon the Messenger to give the message, to give the clear message. So we understand, yani from the hikmah of Allah Ta'ala sending a messenger, and him living amongst the people to clarify the book, لِيُخْرِجَ النَّاسَ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النَّورِ بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ, to take the people from darkness to light, to be an example to the people, an example in his life, an example in his statements, an example in his actions, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it obligatory upon us to follow him. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Hashr, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. That which the messenger gives you, take, and that which he forbids you, then abstain from. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it obligatory for us to follow the sunnah of our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Likewise in his statements in Surah An-Nur, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, a serious warning, فَلْيَحْذِرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَنْ تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةً أَوْ يُصِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَلِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, let those who go against his command, let those who go against the command of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let them be warned that they would have some tragedy in their life, or they would have a severe punishment. Or they would have a severe punishment. And why do we mention these types of proofs? For one, because that which we're going to be reading from in Sahih al-Bukhari is the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As we're going to read, it is the most authentic book after, as many of the Salaf said, is the most authentic book after the Quran. And the Sunnah, or Sahih al-Bukhari, is a book that contains a great portion of the Sunnah of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's no doubt during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, until today, there's a great need for the encouragement to refer back to the Quran and the Sunnah, because the different groups that go against the Sunnah, the different groups that reject the Sunnah, the different people within Islam, and they corrupt Islam from within by belittling the Sunnah and the people of the Sunnah. Here we have in the verse, in Surah An-Nur, the 64th verse, where Allah Ta'ala says, so let the people that go against His order be warned. And it's not something simple. Oh, it's only Sunnah. People are having that understanding. It's only Sunnah. It's not something important. Allah Ta'ala said, let the people be warned that if they will go against His orders, His commands, His teachings, that they will have a tragedy in their life, or they would have a severe torment or punishment. Imam Hafiz ibn Kathir rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned in his tafsir of the above ayat, of the above verse that we just mentioned, the aforementioned verse, ay amru rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning Allah barakah is talking about the orders of the Prophet. But does it mean just that which he said you must do? No. Ibn Kathir said, وَهُوَ سَبِيلُهُ وَمِنْهَاجُهُ وَطَرِيقَتُهُ وَسُنَّتُهُ وَشَرِيعَتُهُ. Ibn Kathir said, so this is the way of the Prophet. Yani, what is Allah Ta'ala when Allah Ta'ala says, let those who go against His command be warned? Is Allah Ta'ala only referring to the command of the Prophet? No. Ibn Kathir says, it is the way of the Prophet, it is the methodology of the Prophet, it is the character of the Prophet, it is the Sunnah of the Prophet, it is the legislation of the Prophet. Once again, Ibn Kathir said, it is the way of the Prophet, the methodology of the Prophet, it is the character of the Prophet, it is the Sunnah of the Prophet, and it is the legislation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then he says, فَتُوزَنَ الْأَقْوَالُ وَالْأَعْمَالُ بِأَقْوَالِهِ وَأَعْمَالِهِ. So you weigh the statements and the actions with that of the Prophet ﷺ. Anyone that addresses you, anyone that informs you, you weigh their statements with that of the Prophet ﷺ. فَمَا وَافَقَ ذَلِكَ قُبِلْ. Whatever is in conformity to the statements and the actions of the Prophet ﷺ, it is accepted. وَمَا خَالَفَهُ فَهُوَ مَرْدُودٌ عَلَى قَائِلِهِ. And that which goes against the statements and the actions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is rejected. وَفَعِلِهِ كَائِنٌ مَنْ كَانَ. It is rejected upon the person that said it and the person that did it, whoever he may be. Whoever he may be. And that's something extremely important. Important for those who reject the Sunnah, and important for those who place the statements of men over the actions and the statements of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Extremely important. Also, with regards to the obedience and following the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is this tremendous statement of Allah Ta'ala in Surah An-Nisa, the 65th verse. Allah Ta'ala says, "Fala wa rabbuka la yu'minuna hatta yuhakkimunaka fima shajara baynahum." ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُ فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَدَيْتَ وَيُسَلِّمُ تَسْلِيمًا. The statement of Allah. Allah Ta'ala swore by Himself. Allah Azza wa Jal swore by Himself, saying that they do not believe. The people do not believe until they make you a judge in that which they dispute in. And so they make you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a judge. And that is while he's alive, and that is referring back to his sunnah after his death. Until they make you a judge in that which they dispute in, does it end at that? No. ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُ فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا. And then they find no regret. They find no difficulty. They find no hesitance within themselves, and they submit wholeheartedly. And they submit wholeheartedly. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, Imam Ibn Qayyim mentioned in I'lam al-Muwaqqi'een, pertaining to that verse in Surah An-Nisa, the 65th verse, he said, أقسم الله سبحانه بنفسه على نفي الإيمان عن العباد حتى يحكم رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم في كل ما شجر بينهم من الدقيق والجليل. He said, Allah has sworn by Himself. Allah Azza wa Jalla has sworn by Himself, negating faith from the servants until they make the Prophet a judge, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a judge in everything that they dispute in, that which is clear and that which is unclear. وَلَمْ يَكْتَفِي فِي إِيمَانِهِمْ بِهَذَا التَّحْكِيمِ بِمُجَرِّدِهِ حَتَّى يَنْتَفِي عَنْ صُدُورِهِمِ الْحَرَجَ وَالضِّيقَ مِنْ قَضَائِهِ وَحُكْمِهِ. And Allah did not suffice by mentioning that they have to make the Prophet a judge. Allah did not suffice by mentioning that they have to make the Prophet a judge. But they also have to remove any tightness and uneasiness because of the ruling of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَلَمْ يَكْتَفِي مِنْهُمْ عَيْضًا بِذَلِكَ. And Allah also did not suffice with that. حَتَّى يُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا وَيُنْقَادُوا إِنْقِيَادًا. Allah also did not suffice with that. But they must submit wholeheartedly, and they must follow, and they must follow. This was the statement of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala pertaining to that particular verse. And there are many, many more texts. And there are many more texts that can be mentioned with regards to the obedience and the obligation of following the sunnah of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But let it be known that during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed us that there would be generations to come that would belittle the sunnah, that would turn their backs on the sunnah, that would not show importance to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed us of that. And that's today. You have individuals that only hold on to the Quran, so they say. And they're incorrect in their beliefs. They only stick to the Quran. The companions of the Prophet, they had faults. They were men. We are men. So you find some individuals only claiming to refer back to the Quran. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned us of such actions. And the reason why we're mentioning these different texts before we go into Sahih Bukhari is to show you the importance of such a book. Is to show you the importance of such a book so that we can have a greater reverence for books such as Sahih Bukhari, books such as Sahih Muslim, because there's no doubt today, if you enter or if you look into the lives of many of the Muslims across the world, you find that many of us are not reading the Quran, let alone the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are not focusing on the Quran, let alone the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are not submitting to the Quran, let alone the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are not memorizing the Quran, let alone the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So with that being the case, we mention this introduction so that people can realize the great importance, the tremendous importance of referring back to these books and obtaining these books and reading these books and preserving these books and teaching these books to others. You have in the hadith of Tirmidhi, on the authority of Al-Miqdam bin Ma'di Karib radiallahu ta'ala an, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, أَلَا هَلْ عَسَى رَجُلٌ يَبْلُغُهُ الْحَدِيثُ عَنِّي وَهُوَ مُتَّكِئٌ عَلَىٰ عَرِيكَتِهِ فَيَقُولُ بَيْنَنَا كِتَابُ اللَّهِ فَمَا وَجَدْنَا فِيهِ حَلَالٍ اسْتَحْنَا اللَّهِ وَمَا وَجَدْنَا فِيهِ حَرَامٍ حَرَّمْنَاهِ وَإِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ كَمَا حَرَّمَ اللَّهِ. It is as if the Prophet ﷺ, and there's no doubt, the Prophet ﷺ knew what would take place. Allah SWT informed His Messenger ﷺ of what would still take place. And that is where the Prophet ﷺ said in this hadith, which is reported in the Jama of Imam al-Tirmidhi, and the Sunan of Abi Dawood, where the Prophet ﷺ said, it's possible that an individual hears my statements and he's laying down, he's relaxing, he's taking it easy. And he says, we have the Book of Allah. Whatever we find in the Book of Allah, istihlalna. We hold it to be, whatever we find permissible in the Book of Allah, we hold it to be permissible. Whatever we find impermissible in the Book of Allah, we hold it to be impermissible. Okay, so this individual is relaxing. He's taking it easy. He said, we have the Book of Allah. It's sufficient for us. We have the Book of Allah. It is sufficient for us. What did the Prophet ﷺ say? وَإِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ كَمَا حَرَّمَ اللَّهِ. Verily, what I say is haram, it is as just as what Allah says is haram. This is what the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, informing us that his sunnah, in terms of that which is halal, in terms of that which is haram, in terms of the likes, it is similar to the Quran. As we're going to find out in other narrations of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was mentioned by Imam al-Hafidh Al-Khattabi in his explanation of Sunan Abi Dawood. He said, pertaining to that aforementioned hadith, he said, يُحَدِّرُ بِذَلَكَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ مِنْ مُخَالَفَةِ السُّنَنْ أَلَّتِي سَنَّهَا مِمَّا لَيْسَ لَهُ فِي الْقُرْآنِ. Verily, the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, in that hadith, he is warning from going against his sunnah, which is not in the Qur'an. Because notice that person said, what we have in the Qur'an is sufficient. It is sufficient, and he's relaxing. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned, وَهُوَ مُتَّكِعُ عَلَىٰ عَرِيكَتِهِ. He's laying down on his sofa. He's laying down on his bed. He's laying down on something, and he's saying, we have the Book of Allah. So he's belittling the Sunnah. Imam al-Khattabi said, the Prophet ﷺ is warning against going against the Sunnah, which is not present in the Qur'an. Naam. And then he mentioned, على ما ذهبت إليه الخوارج والروافض فإنهم تعلقوا بظاهر القرآن وترك السنن التي قد دمنت بيان الكتاب فتحيروا وضلوا. He said, and this is that which is, and this action which has been done is similar to the action of the Khawarij and the Rawafid. It is similar to the actions of the Khawarij and the Rawafid. For verily they have taken that which is apparent in the Quran, and they have abandoned the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the sunnah of the Prophet clarifies the Quran, and because of that action they have become confused and they have gone astray. Because of that action they have become confused and they have gone astray. There's no doubt that that statement informs us of the serious importance of adhering, of following, of reading, of learning the sunnah of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Also within the sunnah, and we're cutting through some of that which we have prepared, but also within the sunnah of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you have that which informs of the importance of the sunnah, like we've mentioned, and you also have that which informs, moving on, of the status of the people of hadith. And these people, and understand something before us mentioning those narrations, we mentioned that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala sent a book. And we mentioned that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala sent a messenger to explain that book. Taib. The companions who were the best of mankind after the prophets and the messengers, the companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they took it upon themselves to memorize the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You had the likes of Abu Huraira, you had the likes of Aisha, you had the likes of Jabir, you had the likes of Anas bin Malik, you had the likes of Abdullah bin Abbas, you had the likes of Abdullah bin Umar, and many others, Abu Sayyid al-Khudri, and many other companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They took it upon themselves to memorize the sunnah, to write the sunnah. Even so much so, Abdullah bin Umar bin As, as it was mentioned by Abu Huraira in Sahih Bukhari, that Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that no one has more narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam than me, other than Abdullah bin Umar bin As. Verily, he used to write, and I did not write. Type. The Jews heard that Abdullah bin Umar bin As radiallahu ta'ala anhu was writing everything the Prophet said sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they approached Abdullah bin Umar bin As, and they said to him, you write everything your prophet. Because they didn't believe in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They said, you write everything this man says. And he's a human. Maybe he says something today and he changes his statement tomorrow. Maybe he says something today and he changes his statement tomorrow. So this bothered Abdullah bin Amr bin As. And he approached the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he informed the Prophet of what they said. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Uktub, write, فَوَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِي لَا يَخْرُجُ مِنْهُ إِلَّا الْحَقِّ." The Prophet ﷺ took his finger and pointed at his tongue. He pointed at his mouth. And he said to Abdullah bin Amr bin As, write. Continue writing. I swear by the one who my soul is in his hands, yani I swear by Allah, nothing comes from this tongue except that it is the truth. So the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, they were very diligent in collecting his sunnah. Very extremely diligent in collecting his sunnah. And then thereafter, the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, you had the scholars of hadith. The individuals that gathered, and the individuals that encouraged one another to gather the authentic statements of the Prophet ﷺ, his statements and his actions and his approvals. And in the future, inshallah, because we don't want to spend too much time on the introduction, we want to go into the book. But in the future, inshallah, every lesson we would try to mention something from the lives of the people of the Salaf, the scholars of hadith, which would be an encouragement for us today. But even within the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, you have that which encourages and that which informs of the great merits of the people of hadith. The great merits of the people of hadith. From amongst the several narrations which inform of the merits of the people of hadith is that which was reported in the Jama' of Imam al-Tirmidhi on the authority of Ibn Mas'ud, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an, that the Prophet ﷺ said, أَوْلَ النَّاسِ بِي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةَ أَكْثَرُهُمْ عَلَيَّ صَلَاتِ. The Prophet ﷺ said, the people who are closest to me and the people who have the most rights over me on the Day of Judgment are the people that send salutations upon me ﷺ the most. The people that send salutations upon the Prophet ﷺ the most. This hadith was mentioned, authenticated by Ibn Hibban, and it was also mentioned to be Hassan by Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala in Sahih al-Targhib al-Tarhib. Ibn Hibban rahimahullah ta'ala, once we'll say the hadith, the people that are most deserving of me, the people that have the most right over me, the people that are closest to me on the Day of Judgment, are the people that send the most salams to me. The people that send the most salams, the salutations, to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ibn Hibban, after mentioning this hadith in his Sahih, he said, في الخبر بيان صحيح بيان صحيح على أولى الناس برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في القيامة. He said, in this narration, you have a clear proof that the people that are most loved, the people that have the most right, the people that are closest to the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم on the Day of Judgment, يكونوا أصحاب الحديث. They will be the people of hadith. إذ ليس في هذه الأمة قوم أكثر صلاة عليه منهم. He said, for verily, you do not have anyone in the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that sends the salutations upon him more than the people of hadith. He said, verily, the people that would be most beloved, closest to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the Day of Judgment will be the people of hadith. Because verily, you do not have anyone in the Ummah of Muhammad that sends salams upon the Prophet ﷺ more than the people of hadith. It was also mentioned by Imam Khatib al-Baghdadi in his book, Sharaf Ashab al-Hadith, or the merits of the people of hadith. He said, هذه منقبة شريفة يختص بها رواة الآثار ونقلتها لأنه لا يعرف لعصابة العلماء من الصلاة على رسول صلى الله عليه وسلم أكثر مما يعرف لهذه العصابة نسخا وذكرا. Imam al-Khatib, Khatib al-Baghdadi, he mentioned, this is a great merit for the people of hadith. This is a great merit for the narrators of hadith and the people that carry the hadith. Because you do not have anyone from amongst the scholars. He said, because you know the scholars, you have the scholars of tafsir, you have the scholars of hadith, you have the scholars of fiqh. Huh? He said, there is no one from amongst the scholars who has more salams, sending more salutations upon the Prophet ﷺ than the scholars of hadith. For verily they do it when they write, and verily they do it when they practice their hadith. They do it when they write, and they do it when they practice hadith. It was also mentioned by Ibn Asakir. It was also mentioned by Abdul Samad bin Abdul Wahhab ibn Asakir, rahimahullah ta'ala. He said, لَيَحَيْنَ أَهْلِ الْحَدِيثِ هَذِهِ الْبُشْرَى. That this glad tidings is for the people of hadith. فَقَدْ أَتَمَّ اللَّهُ نِعْمَةِ عَلَيْهِمْ بِهَذِهِ الْفَضِيلَةِ الْقُبْرَى. فَإِنَّهُمْ أَوْلَى النَّاسِ بِنَبِيِّهِمْ وَأَقْرَبُهُمْ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَسِيلَةً يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. He said, let the people of hadith be given glad tidings. For verily Allah has blessed them with this merit. For verily they are the best people to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the Day of Judgment, and they are the closest to Allah azza wa jal, and they are the closest to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. فَإِنَّهُمْ يُخَلِّدُونَ ذِكْرَهُ فِي طُرُوسِهِمْ وَيُجَدِّدُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَالتَّسْلِيمَ عَلَيْهِ فِي مُعْذَمِ أَوْقَاتِهِمْ وَفِي مَجَالِسِ ذِكْرِهِمْ. He said, for verily, they always mention the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they always mention salam, salutations to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in most of their timings and most of their gatherings of remembrance, and most of their gatherings of remembrance. And there was many more statements of the Salaf, but moving on to the next hadith. Another hadith that shows you the importance of the people of hadith specifically is also that which is reported in Tirmidhi, or also on the authority of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where he said, سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول نظر الله امرئا سمع مني شيئا فبلغه كما سمع فرب مبلغ أوعى له من سامع. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, May Allah Azza wa Jal bring a gleaming glow to the face of an individual that hears from me. To the face of an individual that hears something from me, and he narrates it as he heard it. And he narrates it as he heard it. This is one of the greatest narrations of the Prophet ﷺ that informs of the great merits of the people of hadith. It was mentioned by Al-Mala Al-Qari, rahimahullah ta'ala. He said, in this dua, لأنه سعى. He said, this dua is about the people of hadith. لأنه سعى في مضارة العلم وتجديد السنة فجزاه الله بالدعاء. فجزاه بالدعاء. He said, this is about the people of hadith, because verily they have raced in knowledge and reviving of the sunnah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has rewarded them with this dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. With this dua of the Prophet. وَهَذَا يُدُلُّ عَلَى شَرَفِ الْحَدِيثِ وَفَضْلِهِ وَدَرَجَةِ طُلَّابِهِ حَيْثُ خَصَّهُمَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بِالدُّعَاءِ وَلَمْ يُشْرَكْ فِيهِ أَحَدٌ مِنَ الْأُمَّةِ. Mala al-Qari, he said, and this shows you the merits of the people of hadith. The merits of hadith, afwan, he said, this shows you the merits of hadith. And the people of hadith, the merits of the students of hadith, because the Prophet ﷺ specified them with this supplication, and he did not specify anyone else with this supplication. And it was also mentioned by Ibn al-Qadi Abu Bakr Ibn al-Arabi, where he mentioned, قال العلماء ما من رجل يطلب الحديث إلا كان على وجهه نظرة. And he, Ibn al-Arabi, and this is the Salafi, not Ibn Arabi, the Mulhid. No, Abu Bakr Ibn al-Arabi, the Sahib al-Tafsir, the person who has a book of Tafsir, he said, the scholars say, there is no man that seeks knowledge of hadith, studies hadith, memorizes hadith, except that he has gleaming glow on his face. And this is based on the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was also mentioned by Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abbad. Because Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abbad, Hafizullah Ta'ala, he has a book explaining this hadith. And he wrote over 30 years ago, Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abbad has a book explaining hadith. which he wrote over about 25 years ago. He said, فِيهِ بَيَانُ فَضْلِ الْإِشْتِغَالِ بِالْعِلْمِ الْحَدِيثِ. He said, this hadith shows the great merits, and this is what we're doing today. Listen to what Shaykh Abdul Muhsin says, and that's what we're doing today, this evening. He said, this shows this evening for me and this day for you. He said, this hadith shows the great merits of working in the knowledge of hadith. لِدَعْوَةِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, because of the fact that the Prophet supplicated for you. Subhanallah. Ya ikhwani, ya akhawati. Right now we're going to begin to read hadith. The Prophet ﷺ supplicated for the people that work in hadith, the people that study hadith, the people that memorize hadith, the people that read hadith. The Prophet ﷺ supplicated that Allah gives their face gleaming glow on the Day of Judgment. So Shaykh Abdul Muhsin said, فِيهِ بَيَانُ فَضْلُ الْإِشْتِغَالِ بِعِلْمِ الْحَدِيثِ. He shows you the merits of working in hadith. لِدَعْوَةِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لِأَهْلِهِ بِهَذِهِ الدَّعْوَةِ الْمَيْمُونَةِ. Because the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم gave this great supplication for the people that work upon his hadith. He also said, وَفِيهِ إِثْبَاتُ الشَّرَفِ الْعَظِيمِ لِأَصْحَابِ الْحَدِيثِ. This also shows a great merit for the people of hadith. It also shows a great merit for the people of hadith. So, and there's many, many more statements. There's many more statements of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam before the Salaf. Many more statements of the Prophet before the Salaf, which shows you the great merits of working in hadith. One more example, then we're going to cut through some of that which we have researched. But one example to show you how the Salaf viewed this, yani the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the importance of the Sunnah and implementing the Sunnah and the people of the Sunnah, is something that took place during the time of the Sahaba, Umran bin Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And this was mentioned by Hassan al-Basri. Al-Hassan al-Basri, who was from amongst the Kibar al-Tabi'een, and he met from individuals from amongst the Sahaba, he said one day, Umran bin Hussein, from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كَانَ جَالِسًا وَمَعُهُ أَصْحَابُهُ. Umran bin Hussein was sitting, and he had some of his friends with him, his companions with him, from some of his students with him. The companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were teachers. Just like they learned from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they disperse this knowledge after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Umran bin Hussein was with his companions. فَقَالَ رَجُلٌ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ لَا تُحَدِّثُونَ إِلَّا بِالْقُرْآنِ. There was an individual that said to Umran bin Hussein, because what were the companions doing? They were teaching Quran and they were teaching Sunnah. They were teaching Quran and they were teaching Sunnah. So this man said to Umran bin Hussein, please, don't inform us about anything except Quran. Don't teach us anything except Quran. Don't narrate anything to us except Quran. فَقَالَ لَهُ Umran bin Hussein, the companion, he said, عُدْنُ, come here. فَدَنَا, the man came. He said, أَرَأَيْتَ لَوْ أُكِلْتَ أَنْتَ وَأَصْحَابُكَ إِلَى الْقُرْآنِ أَكُنْتَ تَجِدُ فِيهِ صَلَاةَ الظُّهْرِ أَرْبَعًا وَصَلَاةَ الْعَصْرِ أَرْبَعًا وَالْمَغْرِبَ ثَلَاثًا تَقْرَأُ فِي ثنتين. Umran bin Hussein said, and he gave him something logical. He gave him something extremely logical. He said, is it possible that if you were only given the Quran, you and your companions, you and your followers, you and people that think like you, is it possible if you were only given the Quran, you and your followers, would you find Salatul Dhuhr to be four units, four raka'at? Would you find Salatul Asr to be four raka'at? Would you find Salatul Maghrib to be three raka'at? And that you only, yani Salatul Maghrib, you only recite in the first two raka'at? Would you find that in the Quran? Then Umran bin Hussein continued to give him something logical. أَرَأَيْتَ لَوْ وُكِلْتَ أَنْتَ وَأَصْحَابُكَ إِلَى الْقُرْآنِ أَكُنْتَ تَجِدُ فِيهِ الطَّوَافَ سَبْعًا وَالطَّوَافَ بِالصَّفَا وَالْمَرْوَةِ. He said, if you and the people that are like you, your companions, if you were only given the Quran, would you find that tawaf, the circulation around the Kaaba, would you find that it should be only done seven times? And would you find that you make sa'i between Safa and Marwa? ثم قال, Umran bin Hussein said, إِيْقَوْمْ, O people, خُذُوا عَنَّا. He said, take from us Quran, Hadith, take from us. فَإِنَّكُمْ وَاللَّهِ إِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا لَتُدُلَّنَّ. He said, people, take from us. For I swear by Allah, if you do not take from us Quran and Sunnah, then verily you will be led astray. Then verily you will be led astray. So that's a practical example. That's a practical example of how the companions understood the position, the place of the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It wasn't something that should be belittled. It wasn't something that should be overlooked. No. It has just as much importance as the Quran, because it is that which explains the Quran. And you find, as it was mentioned by Imam al-Barbahari, which we studied in the beginning of Sharh al-Sunnah, where Imam al-Barbahari said, As-Sunnatu hi al-Islam, wal-Islamu huwa sunnah. Imam al-Barbahari said, the Sunnah is Islam, and Islam is the Sunnah. The Sunnah is Islam, and Islam is the Sunnah. So this shows you how the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and many narrations, we've cut through many of the narrations, but this shows you the importance of implementing, adhering to, learning, studying the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. With that being the case, we felt the need, and inshallah in the future we will mention many more statements of the Salaf with regards to the importance of the Sunnah. But with that being the case, we felt the need to read from the Book of Knowledge from Sahih al-Bukhari. The Book of Knowledge from Sahih al-Bukhari. There's no doubt, as we mentioned before, earlier in this lecture, the scholars mentioned, Ibn Salah and many of the scholars of Hadith of the past, they said there's no book more authentic. There's no book more authentic on this earth after the Quran than Sahih al-Bukhari. There's no book more authentic after the Quran than Sahih al-Bukhari. And this man, Imam al-Bukhari, Muhammad bin Ismail al-Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala, wrote this book over 900 years ago. Over 900 years ago, and we still have this book. Collecting the Sunnah of the Prophet, the statements of the Prophet, the actions of the Prophet, that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam affirmed or consented to. We have this man taking it upon himself to write down the actions of the Prophet, understanding that we would not have Islam without having the Sunnah, understanding we would not understand our religion without reading the Sunnah, understanding we would not understand the Quran without having the Sunnah. The scholars of the past, rahimahumullah ta'ala, took it upon themselves to gather the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and by the protection of Allah, inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidun. Verily we have sent down the reminder, and verily we would protect it. The reminder is the Quran. But how can the Quran be of benefit if we do not know how to implement it? If we do not have its explanation? If we do not have its practical implementation? This is in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. By the mercy of Allah, we still have the books such as Sahih Bukhari, such as Sahih Muslim. We can still benefit and learn our religion. So we felt the need to sit down with this book and to spend some time chapter after chapter. And the first chapter we're going to begin from, and maybe in the future we do other chapters, but we're going to begin from the chapter of knowledge, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. With regards to Imam al-Bukhari, there's many things that can be said about Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, but first going into who he is, and we'll mention it in brief, and inshallah in the future in the beginning of each lesson, we will inshallah ta'ala go in more detail into his life, even in ta'ala. He is Abu Abdullah Muhammad bin Ismail bin Ibrahim bin al-Mughira al-Bukhari. He's Abu Abdullah Muhammad bin Ismail bin Ibrahim bin al-Mughira al-Bukhari. And he was born in the year 194. He was born in the year 194 in the area of Bukhara, which are from the countries of Khorasan, which are, if I'm not mistaken, in southern Russia. Which is southern Russia. And likewise, many scholars of the past were from that area. Imam Muslim bin Hajjaj was also, and Nisaburi was also from that area. Many of the scholars of the past were from southern Russia. Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala, he was raised as an orphan. His father died when he was young and the likes of that. And you can read his tarjumah, and inshallah we might make that a lesson. We might make that a homework that we expect from the people to gather the life of Imam al-Bukhari. And inshallah ta'ala we would give, bi'idhnillah ta'ala, we would give we would send some books to the individual that gives us the best biography of Imam al-Bukhari. Because we're not going to mention a complete biography now, but we're going to make that upon the people. Upon the people, upon the listeners, is to gather a detailed biography of Imam al-Bukhari, mentioning the sources, mentioning your sources, and inshallah you can send that to my email address. You can send that to my email address, and inshallah I would, in my free time, I would read some of those biographies. I would read those biographies, and inshallah, and you should, in your email, when you send the homework, also mention your address. Also mention your complete address, and bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, I would send you some books. I would send you some Arabic books, bi'idhnillahi, maybe some Arabic and maybe some English books for your Islamic library. The name of his book, as it's mentioned, is Sahih al-Bukhari. That was the name which is well known. That is the name which is well known. Although Imam al-Bukhari, in different places in his Sahih and in different other books, Imam al-Bukhari mentioned other names for his book. That which is known is Sahih al-Bukhari. But it is also, yani, that which he named it himself, Al-Jami' al-Musnad al-Sahih al-Mukhtasar من أمور رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وسننه وأيامه الجامع المسند الصحيح المختصر again الجامع المسند الصحيح المختصر من أمور رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وسننه وأيامه. Once again, الجامع المسند الصحيح المختصر من أمور رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وسننه وأيامه. So that's, you find that's the most common name. Afwan, that was the most common name that Imam al-Bukhari used. But he also used الصحيح. Imam al-Bukhari, at different times he was heard by different students saying الصحيح, or he was also heard by saying الجامع. And he was also heard by saying, he was heard saying Sahih al-Bukhari. He was also heard saying Sahih al-Bukhari. What were the reasons why Imam al-Bukhari wrote this book? What were some of the reasons why Imam al-Bukhari wrote this book? It is mentioned by Al-Hafiz Ibn Hajar that Imam al-Bukhari, when he saw the different types of books that were written during his time, he found, because yeah, that was the time that people began to write. Some people began to write that which was authentic. Some people began to gather everything and mix. He just wanted to gather the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Imam al-Bukhari, we're going to extend the lesson for another 20 minutes, inshallah ta'ala. So Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala, when Imam Bukhari noticed that many people were just gathering narrations, he said to himself that I have to make a tasfiyah. I have to filter that which is authentic from that which is not authentic. So that was one reason. Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala wanted to filter that which was being attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that was one reason. Another reason is that Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, he had a scholar of hadith, Amir al-Mu'mineen fil hadith, and he's Ishaq bin Rahaway. Ishaq bin Rahaway, and some say Rahuya. Ishaq bin Rahaway, he was teaching Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala. He was teaching Imam al-Bukhari and other students, and he said, لو جمعتم كتابا لصحيح سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. When Imam Ishaq bin Rahaway was teaching the students, and Bukhari was from amongst those students, one day he said, why don't one of you, is it possible that one of you can gather the authentic statements of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Imam al-Bukhari was present. When he heard that statement, he took it upon himself to gather the authentic. And like he mentioned, we're going to read in his book biography, and maybe some of you come across it. Imam al-Bukhari mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said he gathered this authentic book from over 600,000 hadiths that he had memorized. Imam al-Bukhari had memorized over 600,000 hadiths, and he gathered this sahih from those narrations. One third reason why Imam al-Bukhari wrote this book and compiled this book is because he said, as was mentioned by Hafiz Ibn Hajar, where he said, رأيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وكأني بين يديه وبيدي مروحة أضب عنه. Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala said that he saw in a dream. He saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in a dream. Imam al-Bukhari said he saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in a dream. And he was standing in front of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam with a fan. And there were like flies or insects flying around the head of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Imam al-Bukhari was shooing away these flies and insects. When Imam al-Bukhari woke up, he went to some people that used to interpret dreams. And there's a fa'ada in that. There's a fa'ada. Imam Bukhari is a scholar in hadith. Even before he gathered this book of hadith, Imam Bukhari was a scholar in hadith. But just because he was a scholar in hadith did not mean that he knew dream interpretation. Just because he was a scholar in hadith did not mean he knew dream interpretation. Imam Bukhari said when he woke up, he went to people that were known for interpreting dreams. And the reason why I mentioned that fa'ada is because nowadays we have people that think just because a person's a scholar in hadith, that means he's a scholar in everything. Or just because a person's a scholar in fiqh, that means he's a scholar in manhaj. Or just because a person's a scholar in nahu, that means he's a scholar in Islam. He's Sheikh al-Islam. SubhanAllah. You have individuals that are scholars in fiqh, and they may not be scholars in hadith. You have individuals that are scholars in hadith, they may not be scholars in manhaj. And the likes of that. So Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, you have individuals that are known for piety and uprightness, but they may not be scholars at all. So Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned that he saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a dream, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had some insects flying around him. Imam al-Bukhari had a fan, and he was pushing away the insects. When Imam al-Bukhari woke up, he went to someone that was known for interpreting dreams, and they said, verily, you will defend the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those were the three reasons that the scholars mentioned based on their research, and most of them were mentioned by Hafiz Ibn Hajar and others. These were the three reasons that they found that encouraged Imam al-Bukhari to write a book in collecting, compile a book in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And inshallah, we would read the people's biographies when they send those biographies to me next week, and that would be due on inshallah ta'ala next Sunday. From the statements, we're cutting through the biography, we're going to go to let's see who is this man, Imam al-Bukhari. Who is he? Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala was a scholar of hadith, and he is from the greatest, the most knowledgeable scholars of hadith. So much so, Imam Bukhari said about himself, كَتَبْتُ عَنْ أَكْثَرِ مِنْ أَلْفِ رَجُلٍ. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned, he said, I have studied with and I have written from more than 1,000 scholars. I have studied with, I have written from more than 1,000 scholars. SubhanAllah. Look at the serious diligence of Imam Bukhari. We have some individuals today that it's sufficient enough to study from one scholar. I only take from one scholar. I only read the books of one scholar. SubhanAllah, the way of the scholars of the past was that they would travel to sit with one scholar. Once they seek knowledge from him for several years, they would travel to sit with another scholar. They would travel to sit with another scholar. They would travel. Even the scholars wrote books on traveling to seek knowledge. Khatib al-Baghdadi, as we mentioned earlier, Imam Khatib al-Baghdadi has the book called Al-Rihlatu fi Talib al-Ilm. He has a book called Traveling to Seek Knowledge. His book called Traveling to Seek Knowledge. So it shows you the scholars of the past were diligent in seeking knowledge. It wasn't sufficient that I read from one scholar's books, I only take from one scholar, I only limit to myself. No. As long as the scholars upon the sunnah, they studied from thousands of scholars. And we have that, the likes of that mentioned by Imam al-Bukhari himself. He said, I narrated from over 1,000 scholars. SubhanAllah. And that's an encouragement for us today. You still have the likes of Sheikh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad alive. You still have the likes of Sheikh Rabi' bin Hadi alive. You still have the likes of Sheikh Saleh al-Fawzan alive. You still have the likes of Sheikh Saleh al-Luhaydan alive. You still have the likes of Sheikh Ubayd al-Jabri alive, Sheikh Ali Nasir Faqihi alive, Sheikh Saleh Sahimi alive. You still have the students of Sheikh Muqbil, rahimahullah ta'ala. You still have some of the students of Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullah ta'ala. You still have these scholars far and wide. And some of us, unfortunately, treat them as if they're dead. We treat them as if they're dead. We don't take from them. We don't travel to see them. We don't this, we don't know. The reality is, the way of the scholars of the past is that they were extremely diligent in traveling to sit with the scholars and benefit from the scholars, their statements and their actions. Their statements and their actions, and of course, their knowledge. It was also mentioned by Imam, it was also mentioned by the students of Imam al-Bukhari, to show you the greatness of this Imam. It was mentioned by his Warraq, Muhammad bin Abi Hatim. Imam al-Bukhari had people that used to write for him. He used to sit, he used to narrate, and people used to write, students. He had a student by the name of Muhammad bin Abi Hatim. He said, سمعت حاشدة بن إسماعيل وآخر يقولان. He said, I heard Hashid bin Ismail and others from the students of Imam al-Bukhari. They said, كان البخاري يختلف معنا إلى سماعي وهو غلام. Bukhari used to come with us, and he used to attend, you know, the different gatherings with us. Imam al-Bukhari, he used to attend, actually, these were the contemporaries of Imam al-Bukhari. And Muhammad bin Abi Hatim is his student. But Hashid bin Ismail and the others, they were the ones that used to be with Imam Bukhari and go to lessons with him. They were like his contemporaries. So they said, Imam al-Bukhari, he used to go with us to different lessons. وَهُوَ غُلَامًا. He was a young boy. فَلَا يَكْتُبُ حَتَّى أَتَى عَلَى ذَلِكَ أَيَّامًا. Imam Bukhari did not used to write. Sometimes he used to write, but most of the time he didn't write. To show you how strong his memory is, as we're going to see in this narration. So Imam Bukhari did not write. They used to write. Several days would go by, Imam Bukhari used to sit and listen, but he did not write. He would memorize everything. فَكُنَّ نَقُولُ لَهُ. So we said to him one day, إِنَّكُمَا قَدْ أَكْثَرْتُمَا عَلَيَّ فَأَعْرِدَ عَلَيَّ مَا كَتَبْتُمَا. Yani, so they said to Imam Bukhari, ah, you only attend, you don't write. You only attend, you don't write. So Imam Bukhari said to them, verily you're speaking too much to me. You're complaining too much. And you're putting your nose in my business too much. So tell me what you've written. Imam Bukhari sat with these individuals one day and said, tell me what you have written. فَأَخْرَجْنَا إِلَيْهِ مَا كَانَ عِنْدَنَا. So we read to him that which we wrote from the scholars. فَزَادَ عَلَى خَمْسَةَ عَشْرَ أَلْفْ حَدِيثٍ. فَزَادَ عَلَيْهِ خَمْسَةَ عَشْرَ أَلْفْ. Understand, these people are writing. Imam Bukhari is not writing. They said, so when we read what we wrote to Imam al-Bukhari, he added 15,000 hadiths that we did not write. He was able to add 15,000 hadiths that we did not write. Because, you know, some people, they can write very quickly. And some people, they're slow in their writing. They said, Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala, after we mentioned to him what we wrote, he added 15,000 hadith that the scholar said, but we weren't able to write. He added 15,000 hadith. فَقَرَعَهَا كُلَّهَا عَنْ ذَحْرِ قَلْبِ. He narrated the hadith from his memorization. حَتَّى جَعَلْنَا نُحْكِمُ كُتُبَنَا مِنْ حِفْتِهِ. Until we begin to make corrections in our notes from his memorization. We begin to make corrections in our notes from his memorization. ثُمَّ قَالَ أَتَرَوْنَ أَنِّي اِقْتَلَثَ حُدْرًا وَأُضَيِّعَ أَيَّامِ. He said, do you think I'm wasting my time? Imam Bukhari said to him, do you really think that I'm wasting my time? فَعَرَفْنَا أَنَّهُ لَا يَتَقَدَّمَهُ أَحَدٌ. When that took place, this is the narrator, he said, we realized that no one was more knowledgeable than Imam al-Bukhari. Or, no one had greater memory. We realized that no one had greater memory than Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala. And there are many, many more statements. But inshallah, in the future, we will mention those other statements. Fine. We did take some time in the introduction, and to be honest with you, the introduction can last several lessons, but what we're going to do, we're going to break down the introduction. We would give introduction now, and inshallah ta'ala, in the next lesson, we will go into some hadith, and alhamdulillah, the research is prepared, and the likes of that. But because of the time, we will stop now. And inshallah, next week, We will give a smaller introduction. We will continue with the introduction, and we will go straight into the hadiths. And next week, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, on Sunday, we will cover five hadiths. Next week, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, on a Sunday, we will cover five hadiths, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. There's one advice that I have for my brothers and sisters before we end. And that is the importance of grasping this knowledge and teaching it to others. Ya ikhwan, we do not just want to sit and listen. And I don't know the ghaib, but I do not believe that anyone from amongst us has the memory of Imam al-Bukhari, where he's able to sit, grasp, memorize, and khalas, he's memorized. No. But what we want to do, we want to try our best to take notes. We want to try our best to listen attentively. We want to try our best to review our notes and compare it with the recording, which will be on the blog site tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala. And with IQ, this site itself, it records. But sometimes the recording may be, broken and the likes of that. So on bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, on the blog site, we will upload the recording, and you can find it, you can listen to it tomorrow, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. But also, not only that, ya ikhwan, we want to teach it to others. We want to get this information to others. We want to build the people and get them on a level so that first and foremost, this can be something pleasing to Allah. Second of all, they themselves can get closer to Allah. And third of all, we want to increase the ajr of our beloved Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We want to increase the ajr of our beloved Messenger, Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We want to try to get our families on a different level. If we look at the books of the Salaf, and this is something we can mention in detail in the future, يعني مثلا the daughter of Sa'id bin Musayyib. The daughter of Sa'id bin Musayyib. And Sa'id bin Musayyib is from amongst the greatest of the Tabi'een. He's amongst the greatest of the Tabi'een. Sa'id bin Musayyib was not the type of scholar that used to teach the people outside and forget his family. No. He was very diligent in teaching his family. Even so much so, it was mentioned by Abu Nu'aym al-Asbahani in Al-Hulya, Hulya Awliya. He's mentioned that Sa'id bin Musayyib married his daughter to one of his students. Sa'id bin Musayyib, he married his daughter to one of his students. And on the night of the wedding, of course, a man does with his wife what a man does with his wife. Let's check about that. But the next morning, the student, mashallah, he was very diligent. The next morning, after he had prayed Salat al-Fajr, he put on his clothing, he grabbed his book, and he was on his way out of the door to go sit with Sa'id bin Musayyib. To go sit with his scholar, Sa'id bin Musayyib. His wife, who's the daughter of Sa'id bin Musayyib, she grabbed his hand and said, "Where are you going?" He said, "I'm going to sit with your father." She said, "Sit down, I'm going to teach you the knowledge of my father." She said to him, "Sit down, I'm going to teach you the knowledge of my father." That's how knowledgeable she was, the daughter of Sa'id bin Musayyib. Not the type of individual where you find, we don't want to be the type of individuals where we're sitting, we're learning, we're studying, we're memorizing, and our families are the opposite. They don't have understanding, they don't have knowledge, they don't have the diligence. No, we want to try to encourage them to study. We want to sit them down. We want to teach them. So that inshallah when we pass away, they can teach the coming generations. I don't think any of us want our grandchildren to be ignorant. I don't think any of us want our grandchildren to be ignorant of their religion, not having any understanding of our religion. MashaAllah, we're buying books, we're studying, we're memorizing, but our grandchildren will be ignorant of this religion. Our children are ignorant of this. This should not be the case. So that's one example. Another example, Malik bin Anas. Imam Malik bin Anas, Imam Dar al-Hijra, rahimahullah ta'ala, one of the greatest scholars of Islam, is mentioned that his daughter was so knowledgeable that she used to sit outside of the area that he used to teach in. She used to sit outside of the area that he used to teach in. But then if he was teaching in a room in his house, she used to sit outside of the door. And she used to listen to his lessons. This is the daughter of Imam Ahmed. And it was mentioned that she was so knowledgeable of his book Al-Muwatta, that when it was mentioned that she was so knowledgeable of his book Al-Muwatta, that when the person was reading to Imam Malik, and the reader would make a mistake, she would tap the door. And Imam Malik would realize that, because Imam Malik, rahimahullah ta'ala, at times the scholar doesn't have the book in front of them. The student has the book. At times the scholar doesn't sit with the book. The student sits with the book, and the student reads to the scholar that which is in the book, and the scholar explains it. Like Sheikh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad, like Sheikh Ubayd al-Jabiri, like many of the ulama today. And the scholar doesn't have the book in front of them. The student has the book. And then you have some scholars, they sit with the book. such as Imam Ahmed. Imam Ahmed would always keep his books in front of him. But مثلاً Imam Malik bin Anas, Imam Malik bin Anas would not sit with his book. His students would sit with the book, and his daughter would sit with her book. So the reader would recite. The reader would read the book. And whenever the reader would make a mistake, the daughter would knock on the door. That's how knowledgeable she was. And she wasn't just playing. She wasn't just, you know, her father was knowledgeable and that was sufficient. No. So this is the way we understand. Naam, and the sister mentioned this daughter of Sheikh Muqbil rahimahullah ta'ala, and many more examples. But the point is, my brothers and my sisters, we want to grasp this knowledge and we want to give it to others. We want to give it to others. And what does that take? That take that we write, that takes that we memorize, we comprehend, we correct our notes, and then we take some time out and we gather others and we sit with them and we teach them that which Allah Ta'ala has bestowed, that which Allah Ta'ala has bestowed upon us. Inshallah Ta'ala, in the future, next week we will continue with this lesson. If Allah Ta'ala gives us life and gives us energy and gives us tawfiq, Allah knows best. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam taslima kathira. Barakallahu fikum.